What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, January 14th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one at Tim Geddes.
Let's him host. I love the energy you're bringing in. Right, dude, off the top with that, what's up, everybody?
I'll tell you what, buddy. If you only work one day a week and then you come back, whoo, you got energy. You got some energy. You know what I'm saying?
What were you doing, by the way? Like, to the level you can explain it.
I went to Austin to record things with Rooster Teeth. The fun. First of which that has been shown already and is available now is Off Topic Podcast, Achievement Hunter Off Topic Podcast, which was my final thing, where I tried to do Millie's math homework and could not. Called my math graduate from Mizzou. He has a degree in math. Confused him verbally and then had to send him a photo.
Sounds like great.
He responded back with the work that Millie didn't do the thing where you look at it and you try to figure out, okay, I understand. She just straight copied it and put it into her homework. Yeah, so I'm like, I don't think I don't know if you learned the lesson, Millie.
No, maybe she did. She
Recorded it in Always Open Podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know when that's going up, but I was able to put up an image of that and then did something else secret that I'm not allowed to say anything about.
Did you get to hang out with Alfredo at all?
I saw Alfredo, yeah.
Yeah.
Does his new hair freak you out?
I know. Well, no, he did that after I left. He knew I would have had a talking smart. To, a sit down. To. You know, I would have had a sit down
He's
with
my
him
little
if
silver
I saw him
fox,
do this.
My little Freddy cat.
How do you feel about this? Now. How do you feel?
I mean, well, it looks fine.
It looks fine. He looks good. He looks real good. Yeah. No. I mean, he looks probably better than, you know, you or I have ever looked.
He had good hair, though, already.
I know, but now he's got stylish, cool kid hair. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. He's an old man.
What did you do while you were? I was gone. You worked real hard here, right? You worked every day.
Yeah, we did a lot of great shows. We hit 58K on
the
books so far. So I saw, I don't remember who it was.
If
I
want to
say it was Kebabs, but it wasn't Kebabs. Somebody on the Reddit was saying that, like, I'm disappointed the guys aren't pushing the fundraising more in January because there's no way we're going to hit London if they just keep, you know, not time out to the next stream.
Yeah.
First off, like, it's hilarious because 99% of people are like, can they stop fucking promoting themselves?
Sure. Yeah. No, we can't.
No, we'll never do that. But second off, no, dude, we're getting along. Like, I think a lot of people are really buying into the content. I think last week proved Kind of Funny 4.0 is something special.
That's right. If you didn't know, all January we're fundraising on patreon.com/kindoffunny and patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Every dollar raised goes towards our future as we worry about one day having a studio, more employees, and all sorts of stuff. We have a big old thermometer that's sending us on a world tour. So far, we're going all around North America, including Vancouver. That's right. Arizona got announced. It's a week from this Saturday. We'll be in Arizona. That's right. 1 week from this upcoming Saturday.
Jesus.
We will be in Arizona partying with you. Details to come. Right, Joey? Time for housekeeping. No, I don't do that way, right? I'm way out of sorts.
No, you got it.
No, because I usually talk about what the show is, right? And then I do the housekeeping.
Rigmarole.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Every one of you silver tier members gets to go in there and ask us questions.
Bronze tier.
What'd you say?
Bronze tier.
Fuck, I fucked that up too. I'm so rusty. Barrett, you get to smack me later wherever you want.
Silver members get it too. It's bronze and
they
above.
Get to watch early. Silver members get this show ad-free. That's the big thing. They get ad-free as an MP3 and a video and everything else. Again, one day work. I'm not sure what the new rigmarole. What are you going to do? After you submit your questions and all that jazz, come over and watch it live. We record at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Guess what, everybody? Thursday, I'm hosting my first ever red carpet premiere.
Hell yeah, baby.
I'm winging my way to New York to work the red carpet and host the Star Trek Discovery Season 2 red carpet. You'll be able to watch live on the internet.
Jealous.
If you didn't know, who is?
Nick.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, Season 2 of the series picks up where Season 1 ended. Spoilers coming. The USS Discovery crew, after answering a distress signal from the USS Enterprise, joins forces with Captain Christopher Pike on a new mission to investigate 7 mysterious red signals and the appearance of an unknown being called the Red Angel. While the crew must work together to unravel their meaning and origin, Michael Burnham is forced to face her past with the return of her estranged brother, Spock. Season 2 of Star Trek Discovery premieres Thursday, January 17th, 2019 at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on CBS All Access.
Is your name Michael?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
I was watching. I'm like, oh, cool. This is like, it's what we talked about before. I want to stretch my legs. I want to do things I don't ever do before. So I was watching all of it this weekend. I was like, this is a good show. It actually made me want to go play Mass Effect Andromeda now that they fixed everything, but I'll get to that another time. Also, shout out to Aftercharge. There's a party mode live right now with Aftercharge. It's on YouTube, and Andy is streaming it this Saturday. We're giving away 100 codes for Aftercharge, so if you want to play with Andy, stay tuned to our Twitter at KindaFunnyVids.
Giving away 100 Xbox One codes, and the game is on Games Pass, so if you have Games Pass, you can play with Andy as well.
Gotcha. Today we're brought to you by Skillshare, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Five items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you, Kevin. We're going to start with one that was a late breaking one on Friday that continued to evolve throughout the weekend. We're talking about the Randy Pitchford lawsuit. This is from Jason at Kotaku. I am boiling down Jason's story and removing graphs here and there. A detailed post, as always, from one Jason Schreier over at Kotaku breaking this. I urge you to go read the entire thing. He has links to the court documents, but I'm bringing up the pertinent stuff along with the updates that have happened since then. The former general counsel of game studio Gearbox, Borderlands, Alien, Colonial Marines, and CEO Randy Pitchford are suing one another in a messy legal battle that seems to have both men accused of violating their legal duties to the company. The suit against Pitchford is full of sensational allegations, including the accusation that the Gearbox CEO received a secret $12 million bonus from publisher Take-Two Interactive as an advance against Borderlands profits. Wade Callender, who served as Gearbox's lawyer from 2010 until 2018, filed a suit on December 21st, 2018, accusing Pitchford of violating various contracts involving both Gearbox and a separate real estate company that they both owned, as well as Callender's own employment contract. Quote, "The allegations made by a disgruntled former employee are absurd, with no basis in reality or law," said a Gearbox spokesperson in a statement to Kotaku. "We look forward to addressing this meritless lawsuit in court and have no further comment at this time."
What a badass way to say it.
That was definitely at that time, and then they came back a few times, which will come back up, and Jason's full-blown article, and I believe in what I've clipped out here, too. Yes, that is a badass way to be like, fuck this guy.
Yeah, we look forward to addressing this.
Callender's suit was filed 1 month after Gearbox sued him in a separate case for fraud and breach of fiduciary duty. I get that right, Kev? Mm-hmm. Fiduciary? Gearbox alleged that Callender borrowed money from Gearbox for a home loan and tuition that he did not pay back in full, and Callender, quote, "abused the privilege of credit card access by charging unapproved, wholly personal expenses, including family vacations, gun club memberships, and firearm accessories, and trying to get six-pack abs," end quote. Another way if you're going to go after somebody in a legal document. All right, I'm fucking getting nailed in this.
Very specific.
Gearbox also accused Callender of destroying evidence of the home loan agreement he made with the studio. Then we went into Callender's thing, which is basically that, yeah, this $12 million was given to Randy by 2K against the profits of Borderlands, when in reality, if they were doing it legally, it should have gone to Gearbox so it could be shared with everybody. But then, Callender's most lurid allegation against Pitchford is an accusation surrounding an event that he says occurred in 2014. Callender says that Pitchford left a USB drive in Dallas, Texas restaurant containing sensitive corporate documents for Gearbox and its partners, including 2K Games, Sega, Sony, Microsoft, and others. Says the lawsuit, quote, "Upon information and belief, Randy Pitchford's USB drive also contained Randy Pitchford's personal collection of underage pornography." I'm at this point in this cold where it's just annoyance, and it's screwing up my breathing patterns and making reading real hard. Several hours after the publication of this story, Ars Technica tracked down a Magic podcast on which Pitchford had appeared last year. Around the same time, a Gearbox spokesperson also emailed the podcast to Kotaku. In an episode that went live December 22nd, 2018, the day after the lawsuit was filed, Pitchford told his version of the USB stick story for the first time, he said. Pitchford described his enjoyment of camgirl pornography, in which a woman streams live erotic content, and explained that he had saved a porn video of a camgirl on said memory stick before it was lost. Quote, "It's a woman who is masturbating," Pitchford said, "and she has some experience that appears as if she's having an orgasm. A huge amount of fluid comes out of her vagina."
Why?
Are you
Why?
Just getting... Did you,
I mean, no, I,
you
I,
made,
no,
you're on
no,
vacation.
I'm,
okay.
I'm in this. Yeah, I knew.
This is not a sex worker. This is a fucking magician. he added, saying he had purchased one of her videos and put it on the USB stick. Some kid, an employee of Medieval Times, discovered this memory stick, took it home, and accessed it because it was before we were password protecting, and discovered secrets of my company and future games in development, and also discovered the pornography. And it was barely legal porn. The girl's handle was only 18. End quote. This is all a quote from Randy Pitchford on this podcast. Just wanted to put that on there. Gearbox also sent over a new statement several hours after the publication of this article. Gearbox will be filing a grievance with the State Bar of Texas against our former general counsel, Wade, for disciplinary proceedings for filing a lawsuit that includes accusations that he knows to be untrue. The lawyer's rules of professional conduct expressly prohibit the filing of documents that are knowingly false. The tell is within Wade's claims itself. He used his use of hedged lawyer language and clever application of quotation marks betray that he knows that the impression he is trying to create is based in lies. We imagine that he used the quotation marks in lawyer language in hopes that will give some angles of defense when we inevitably take action against him for false statements. Wade is engaged in a shakedown, and he's clearly using deceit and lies to try to cause damage by promoting a narrative that he knows is false. Again, this is tip of the iceberg stuff. Jason's article is more detailed in there. It goes into more of the allegations from Wade's lawsuit. The lawsuits are up there for you to read. This article, updated as it is, doesn't include then the scuttlebutt and bullshit. No, I shouldn't say bullshit. The scuttlebutt and, wait, what are you talking about? Stuff from Twitter this weekend where the voice of Claptrap, can I get a search on that? I forget his name. You remember what I'm talking about? Anybody? No?
I mean, I'm looking into it now.
I'm just a nod that you know what I was talking about. He tweeted out, he doesn't... David Eddings, thank you, that's right, doesn't work at Gearbox anymore, but when this story broke, he just tweeted out something to effect, I'm paraphrasing, it's all true, and it was, and it's true, period, and everybody's like, wait, what's true? Are you talking, like, clearly you're talking about this, why else would you be tweeting? Now, he doesn't work at Gearbox anymore, but
this is a perfect example of how messy all the legal stuff can get, and especially now with Twitter and where social media is at, of how quickly things can turn so bad, where when you really look at this, of what's being said, there's like multiple things going on, and Jason did a really good job of boiling this down of like, what is the actual legal battle about? Because It seems like all the pornography stuff is just being thrown there to like make things sound really 100%, bad.
Right. Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's the 12 million bonus that he shouldn't have got.
Yeah.
I guess is the meat of it.
Yeah. What the lawsuit is about is the $12 million thing. Yes. This is thrown in there, I think, as, I don't want to say it. I want to make it very clear. I'm not here to defend or demonize Randy Pitchford, right? Like, I don't. This is all news to me. Yeah. I don't know anybody involved enough to even be like, oh my God. It feels to me it's thrown in there, yes, as a juicy tidbit that they knew would get picked up like this.
Yeah.
And then also kind of a little bit of, if it's, I mean, either way, character assassination of like, you're not suing about the child porn. You're suing him saying he took $12 million and he's a shitty CEO or whatever his title is, you know?
Damn, though. It's like connecting someone with child porn is one of the worst things possible.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that's real fucked up if it's not true. And on top of that, it sucks that the voice actor saying it's true without context.
And I should throw out,
that gets real bad.
I should throw out, I haven't followed up on that tweet since this all started.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's since then come around and been like, you know what? No, this isn't happening or what's going on. I don't. Or he clarified that statement.
USB drive also contained Randy Pitchford's personal collection of underage pornography. And then later it's saying it was one thing of someone that was 18. Those are very different things.
Yeah.
So it's just like, that sucks that if that is true, if it is true that it is just that 18-year-old thing, that sucks that this is a situation that's being added on top of what I'm sure is already a fucking horrible situation.
Nathan C. from Oregon writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, he's a bronze tier member, so he can ask us questions, and says, hey, Kind of Funny crew. A story broke late last week concerning a lawsuit against the well-known CEO of Gearbox, Randy Pitchford, and it seemed very complicated. I understand that it's the reporter's jobs to tell people the news, no matter what it may be, but I was wondering if you think that there are any ways to handle situations such as these. In my mind, no one knows for sure if the allegations in the lawsuit are based in fact or have been twisted around by legalese to keep some credibility in a court of law while remaining grossly false. If we don't know the truth at the moment, wouldn't it be better to err on the side of caution and not report these types of cases that target individuals in order to prevent possible settlements based on negative images being portrayed in the public spotlight? Isn't that partly what Innocent Until Proven Guilty is supposed to be about? What are you guys' thoughts on the matter? Thanks for your hard work and have a great rest of your week, Nathan. Yeah, here's the thing I want to point out, and I understand that it's we're in the forest, so it's hard to see the trees and all that jazz, right? I thought it was awesome and super telling how many of the people who reported on this led with the very base allegation. It's a $12 million thing.
Yeah.
And Jason did a great follow-up. If you don't follow, I mean, if you listen to this show and you use Twitter, you should be following Jason Schreier on Twitter because of the context he gives. I know how many people are like, oh, I love it when the guys talk inside baseball about kind of funny. He does it for Kotaku and how he's writing. And he followed up on his own thing of posting it. He's like, we don't lead with the child porn claim because that's an allegation that there's nobody
it's
has.
It's not clickbait, but it's definitely like trying to entice people to click instead of, hey, this is a serious thing that shouldn't be used that way. Like, right. This could really ruin someone's life.
And that's the thing about the Kotaku article. Again, I urge you all to go over there and read Jason's reporting. Is it, you know, he goes back through some old tweets and stuff of like, you can see that, or it appears that these guys were friends. They had a falling out. It's been a rough couple of years. That, you know, Gearbox sues the Wade. Wade sues them, and like it's back and forth. So there is like definitely feels like there's bad blood and personal politics involved here in terms of like, well, I'm going to get them for this, that, and the other. And again, even it's interesting with, you know, the lawsuit gets filed and has these claims in it, and Randy's on a podcast like the next day, pretty much doing it. But it is the easiest way to get out and tell your story ahead of time, right? Yeah. And when you read it, you're like, fucking Jesus. Child porn, and then you read the thing. It's like, oh, cam girl, you know, just 18 or whatever.
On
a
magician's podcast, it makes a little too much sense. it's weird. The innocent until proven guilty thing. It's like I feel like that's where it comes to the courts to decide. And in court, I feel like based on the PR statements that we're hearing, they sound prepared to fight this.
Totally.
And that doesn't mean that they're innocent, but they do sound ready to go in swinging. So it's like, okay, cool. We'll figure out the legal guilty. But then there is the court of public opinion that there is no rules to that.
Yeah.
If someone says something about you, true or not, and it gets spread by enough people, that's now your story. And that fucking sucks.
Yeah.
But like I saw a recent era when this happened, and it was just like, you know, the thread didn't do the lead with the 20 million. It led with the really, really bad stuff. And then the whole front page of the Post was just people being like, yeah, I always felt weird about him.
I never liked him.
I never tried. It's like, dude, see this is a problem, you know,
but
we're
allowed
to do it though.
To Nathan's point, I mean, in terms of the reporting of it, like you got to report what the news is.
Yep.
This is the news. This is a legally document that's out there for anybody to find, for anything to happen. This is going to get played out. On Games Daily, I thought our job was to bring it up, talk about it, give context of it, and see what's going on. I mean, of course, if by any means we've hemmed or hawed around anything here, of course it's dealing with the innocent until proven guilty stuff. I'll come out and say it. Child porn wrong.
Period.
Stealing $12 million from your employees wrong. You know what I mean?
12 or 20?
I thought it was 12, wasn't it? Yeah.
Okay, cool. Sorry, I was saying 20 earlier.
No, it's fine. It's all the same. Yeah, they're gonna get there in the end. So yeah, no. If you're a person who does either of those things, fuck you.
Don't do that.
Like, you know what I mean? Just a heads up. I don't.
And that's another thing that I feel like Jason did such a great job of that you didn't bring up in the little bits that you took, but are in the full article of the timing of all this. And it wasn't just the 12 million. It was the 12 million that during the same time, Gearbox employees were being told to cut costs and how it actually affected the business and the games in a negative way,
right?
Which I do think adds a lot to the sliminess of it all.
Sure, of course, especially after things like Aliens, Colonial Marines, right? Yep. And like where people are like, what the fuck? Like that was such a big deal that game did not deliver the way it was supposed to. Cameron writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames at the bronze level and says, in regards to the lawsuit involving Randy Pitchford and Gearbox's former employee, can you offer some insight on the impact it might have on either Gearbox or their games, if applicable, in the wider gaming industry? You're all the best. Much love. Cameron. That's we'd have to wait in it remains to be seen type of situation of if this is true and it's the, you know, it's that, and I'm saying it's true, the $12 million, right, Randy took from this that should have gone to the company, right? You figure he's going to be ousted.
Mm-hmm.
And if he wasn't ousted, then obviously everybody's going to quit and the Gearbox is going to be in free fall. I think it's very easy for message boards and Twitters to boil this down to one person. I hate Randy Pitchford. I hate Gearbox, right? I think from what we've seen with Telltale, what we've seen with Visceral, what we've seen with so on and so forth, that if this was to come out and be true, Randy's ousted, I think you'd see the industry rally of like, fuck, I can't, well, this sucks, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what Gearbox does next and blah, blah.
Yeah.
Would they be able to? Are people going to be ready to work with them? I think there would be maybe for business deals confusion of like, well, was he the only bad apple or was this the only thing or yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, I feel like quickly, though,
we're getting ahead of ourselves.
We'd get this man a shield and they would just be like, there would be someone that steps up and is like, hey, I'm going to come and I'm going to lead this and figure
you know what they would
out.
Do? They just pull the string and be like, here's Borderlands 3.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking Borderlands
Literally,
3, everybody.
That's all you need to do.
We've been working on it. It's here. It looks great.
Yeah, I think that is the most likely outcome to this.
But again, I don't
know the politics of the whole teams and all that stuff, but it's like from how this seems and the things that they seem like they're fighting about, this seems like a squabble between friends that unfortunately has a lot of repercussions on hundreds of, if not thousands of people. I don't know how many people work at Gearbox.
Probably a couple hundred.
And that sucks. But thousands of people are going to be affected in terms of like publishing partnerships and all that.
Exactly. So. And so it all remains to be seen. But I mean, we're talking right there. Worst case scenario. I already got it pulled up. Don't you worry. But thank you very much. Let's move on to number two on the Roper Report.
Number two.
It's a breaking news story. Breaking. Guess what, everybody? We have another victory from RocketLeague.com. One Jeremy Dunham writes, full cross-platform play now live in Rocket League. With special thanks to our friends and colleagues at PlayStation, we are thrilled to announce that starting right now, Rocket League has entered the PlayStation Crossplay Beta Program. Players on PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch, Xbox One, and Steam can now randomly match make with or against each other in online matches types. To make sure that cross-platform play is enabled, it is by default, head to the main menu and select options, and then make sure cross-platform play is checked in the gameplay tab. And that's all there is to it. You are now ready to play against gamers on other platforms across the world. But what about cross-platform parties? In our first update this year, more information coming soon, we will release our cross-platform party system, which allows you to partner up with your friends on any platform with the push of a few buttons. Should you want to play with friends on other platforms before cross-platform parties releases, however, you can. Just select play from the main menu, then private match, followed by create or join private match, and you're set from there. Today's announcement is an important one for us here at Psyonix, because we know how much our community has wanted full cross-platform support for quite some time. It's because of you, our fans, and our generous partners on all systems and services that we are able to make this possible in the first place. On behalf of the entire team, thank you for your passion and persistence as we continue to do our best to make Rocket League the best experience it can be. We'll see you on the field, Jeremy Dunham. He didn't sign his name, but I said it because it's Jeremy Will.
Very cool stuff, man.
Awesome.
We had a talk about cross-play and the future of it on this week's Gamescast with Andrea a bit. We did an episode. What's up? Sorry, last week's Patreon, this week's the episode.
The one that's up today, right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
We did a thing of our most controversial gaming opinions. Excellent episode. Things got very fucking heated. Jared Petty is a madman. But Andrea, one of hers was about crossplay and how important it will be or won't be in the future. But we were talking about it and how there's a couple games that it really makes sense for, Rocket League being one of them, where it's like, I feel like it is these smaller games that are a bit more party-based of... just the ease of being at a friend's house and one person having a Switch and one person having a PlayStation is like, it'd be cool if we could just play together. And then now you can. Fortnite's another great example, right?
Fortnite's the example of it, right? Yeah.
It's like there's certain games that I feel fit crossplay better than the giant Destiny scope
or
things.
Division
of,
or
and those would be great too because of the, but those are more cross progression, I think, than they are cross play.
Sure. That's fair.
Anyways, very cool stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm glad to see that shoe finally drop. Like I said, when they were like, oh man, we talked about it in Games Daily. They had to delay their Rocket ID or whatever. And I was like, this is clearly because they're close to this. Mm-hmm. This is, they have to be there. And I really do wonder now that Rocket League's done, you assume, is it Minecraft's the next domino to tip over?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're done. Do they even worry about it anymore?
That's
like
what I'm saying.
Warframe, like, Paladins, like,
too many games of like, conversation to the level of like it's going to make headlines when this happens and it's going to affect people for more than just a couple people commenting saying yay.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Real quick from You're Wrong, of course, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, keeping us honest. By the way, thank you very much. Even though Kevin, on top of it today, you saw, I guess the chat threw it up that you needed this one?
No, Barrett pulled it up.
Barrett did. Good job, Barrett. I want to give a shout out to Mikey O, who wrote into You're Wrong to tell me about the Rocket League news breaking. And then Lord of Pwn says, back to the Randy story, David Eddings later clarified he was referencing Randy as a liar and a con man, but he has no idea if he's a perv.
Cool. Oh, the internet.
Karajuki then also said, David Eddings now works at Rooster Teeth Games, perhaps worth clarifying. Sure, good point. I knew he didn't, I was aware he no longer there anymore. All right, Gearbox.
Interesting.
On to number three, which is really number two, Kev. Are SNES games coming to Switch? Tim? Yeah. You sent this one to me on Slack because you're so excited.
Fucking very,
it's from Cappuccino Heck on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Who's this person? No offense.
Data miner.
Okay, cool.
I
didn't know if you knew him or her.
No,
or them.
It was brought to my attention from Andre from Game Explain, tweeting and,
gotcha.
And tweeting and stuff.
I'm going to read the tweet and then you can run through the
Go
games.
For it.
Cappuccino Heck wrote, I was finally able to look around NES online strings a bit myself and notice the sheer amount of SNES games planned. Here's a list for you folks out there. Tim, take it away.
Mm-hmm. Super Mario Kart, Super Soccer, Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, Demon's Crest, Yoshi's Island, fuck yeah, Stunt Race FX, which Andre is one of Andre's favorite games of all time, and he points out this would be the first time it's ever been re-released.
Oh, wow.
Kirby's Dream Course, Poppin' Twinbee, Star Fox, Contra 3, Kirby Superstar, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, Kirby's Dream Land 3, Super Metroid, Super Mario World, Pilot Wings, F-Zero, Star Fox 2, which was first coming out on the SNES Classic, Super Punch-Out, The Legend of Mystical Ninja, Super Mario All-Stars, and Breath of Fire 2. Now, let's stop there for a second with Super Mario All-Stars. Woo! Never thought I'd fucking see the day. I can't believe we're
this
at
a
This
is still just a rumor. Calm down. Don't get your Gatorade hype moment going yet.
But even the fact that this is in any data mined information, the fact that they're talking about Super Mario All-Stars, which is my favorite single cartridge of all time. Mario 1, Mario 2, Mario 3. I sound like Chad.
Mario 1, Mario 2.
Mario Lost Levels, which is Mario 2 Japan. And the cartridge I had also includes Super Mario World. You don't need that because it'd be here too. Kind of the world's first HD remaster. You know, taking the NES games and making them look Super Nintendo quality. And I love it. Those are the those are the versions of Mario that I grew
up with.
I was
going to say, those are the ones you got, right? I remember that being a big story for you.
Yeah. And it's cool because they re-released them on the Wii for Mario's 20th anniversary or something like that. But it was like an overpriced fucking game that was just a ROM and it was ridiculous. But classic Nintendo. But for this to be on a virtual console-like system is awesome, potentially, if it's real. But that's very exciting to me. And it just shows, like, when you look at this list, it's most of the ones that you'd expect to see. But also there's a couple weird ones like Stunt Race FX and Super Mario All-Stars where you're like, huh, okay, they are kind of going out of the
Do you
the
believe
box
this?
A little bit.
Or do you just want to believe?
I believe it. What this means in terms of, like, release plan, I don't know. I don't think they're dropping all these at once. Although,
Ignacio Rojas writes in to kindoffunny.com. Nope, patreon.com/kindoffunny. Old games, old habits die hard. It's confusing for me too. He says, hello, KFGD. So a recent data mine of the Switch Online NES app discovered that the recent update added a handful of titles and descriptions for SNES games. This being so close to the rumored January Direct could suggest that sooner rather than later, we'll see SNES games on the console. This brings up the question. Is it too early? There's still plenty of NES games Nintendo hasn't added to the service. Should there be a similar gap for adding N64 and GameCube games? Keep up the awesome work, Ignacio. You're talking about when it's going to happen. You don't think it'll be a thing. There's this rumor, right, of a January Direct.
The January Direct rumor was for last week. That didn't happen. But traditionally, there's always been a Direct in January for Nintendo. A big one. One of consequence for their year. So I expect we'll see one in January. Will it be this, like, massive dump of this? I don't know, but it could be. I've heard rumblings behind the scenes, some of which I can
Mr.
talk
Nintendo?
About. So I'll say a Mr.
Nintendo. Nintendo's
I'll
uncle?
I'll say a Mr. Nintendo. But somebody that I trust was like, hey, like, 2019 is going to be big for Nintendo's online thing, and I think it's going to fix a lot of the quote-unquote issues people have with it.
Okay.
And I'm like, all right, what does that mean? I didn't push it. I'm like,
sure.
I'll see what the fuck happens. This is the type of thing that could fix that. If they come out and just, like, boom, here all these games are, that'd be great. That's a very un-Nintendo thing to do. I don't see that happening. I also don't know if that's the best way to... There's so many games here. Doing a dump at once means they don't have too much to go.
I think you have to space these out. Yeah. You have to space them out, right?
There's one thing, though, that's very interesting that you wouldn't need to space them out, and this would it'd be an amazing, like, hey, here's why you should sign up for this service and stop bitching about it. We're dropping all these games at once. Boom, you get those, and then it's just like a Netflix-like service where you get the NES games, you get the SNES games.
Yeah.
There's another bit there that I wanted you to bring up.
Oh, fuck me. I'm sorry, everybody.
I'll bring it up now. In the tweet that I sent you, he followed up and responded to himself, and he's like, hey, I want to, like, get some more attention on some news that someone found from his information. Someone named Oatmeal Dome.
My favorite gnome.
I was looking through the NES Switch app with Cappuccino Heck and Simon 1844, and I found four emulator types. Kachikachi, which is the NES Classic. Canoe, which is the SNES Classic. Hiyoko and Count. that we haven't seen yet. This could mean that there will be two new classic consoles and or three new consoles for Switch Online. Going into this, the NES Online app uses the same emulation system as the NES Classic or the SNES Classic. Well, we don't know about SNES, but we know it does with the NES. And the NES,
I'm like following
that,
so far.
That framework is, the type is Kachikachi, right?
Yeah.
You can assume that the canoe that they found in there is also going to be SNES. So what does this mean to us? N64 and GameCube?
Yeah.
N64 and Game Boy? Does it mean that we're getting classic systems of those? Or does it mean that we're just getting Switch Online of those? I don't know. But an amazing business plan would be Super Nintendo games are some of the best video games ever made. We're just going to give you them. But also coming throughout the year in the drip feed are going to be N64 and GameCube.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. We'll see. That is definitely wishful thinking. But seeing all this gets me really excited that the dream is not dead, that we'll actually get N64 and potentially GameCube games on the Switch.
As much, I shouldn't say shit as I've talked, because I haven't talked shit really, right? But as much as my pickle hasn't been tickled by these classic and Nintendo systems, I really want them to make an N64 classic. Because that'd be the one I'm like, I gotta have you. I gotta have you just sitting on my desk. I know I won't be able to play No Mercy. I know I won't be able to play WrestleMania 2000, but I gotta have you. Tim, number four on the Roper Report. PlayStation has revealed the top PSN downloads of 2018. Not too many super exciting things to run through, but a few shout-outs I want to give, right? So PlayStation 4, the list goes number 1 to number 10. Call of Duty, Black Ops 4, Red Dead Redemption 2, Marvel's Spider-Mans, God of War, Grand Theft Auto 5, NBA 2K19, FIFA 19, Monster Hunter World, Far Cry 5, then Madden NFL 19. Shout-out to fucking Spider-Man.
Yeah, dude.
Making it happen.
And God of War.
Corey Barlog, like, he can go to hell. But shout-out to Spider-Man. Shout out to Spider-Man.
I don't know. I think it's pretty impressive that a M-rated game is the fourth highest selling game on a PlayStation 4.
With
third-party titles like Call of Duty and Red Dead.
I mean, in that figure, Grand Theft Auto 5 at 5, right? Grand Theft Auto has never gone off the fucking list. There. It's always there. It's always ready to kill you. Over on PlayStation VR games, number 1, Job Simulator. Number 2, Beat Saber. Then Super Hot VR, PlayStation VR Worlds, Rick and Morty Virtual Reality, Arizona Sunshine, Moss, Until Dawn, Rush of Blood, Drive Club VR, Insurgent Simulator Experience Reality. Shout out to fucking Beat Saber. Because if you look at that list, PlayStation VR... And kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I'm just going off the top of my head here. So just Beat Saber and Moss are 2018 games.
And more than that, Beat Saber was a December game?
Right. Beat Saber came around fucking late.
That's really crazy.
That's super awesome. Because Beat Saber is fucking rad.
Going back to the PS4 games, though, Monster Hunter World.
There it is.
That's
January.
Pretty impressive. I mean, I know that we've heard that, you know, number one selling Capcom game of all time or whatever. But, like, still, to put some perspective of this, like, it sold more than Madden.
Yeah.
On PlayStation 4, like, that's...
Digitally, yeah.
True.
Yeah. That's the only... I mean, it's I'm not taking away from its accomplishments. I'm just saying it's not a straight, you know, across the bow thing.
That's cool, though. Good for Capcom, man. I'm feeling really good about them and playing a little bit of that Onimusha.
Oh, yeah.
More about that on GameCast.
Did you do the... I mean, we'll talk about this on GameCast as well. Did you do the RE one-shot demo?
No, I want to wait for that. It was so close.
I know, but I was like...
You did it?
Yeah. I'm so ready for RE2. And Jen was like, everybody's talking about this. You want to play it tonight? I'm like, yeah. And I got in there and played, and like, it was fucking great. She was like, is it really like one shot? Like, when it's done, it's done? I'm like, no, it can't be. And I got back to the main screen. I was like, start. It's like, no, you're out of time. I was like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, no,
that's a really good move.
They did it great.
We'll talk about it on GamesCast. Recording Wednesday this week. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Number 4 is not super simple one, but another short one for you. The Epic Games Store has changed its refund policy. This is from Epic's Director of Publishing Strategy, Sergey Galyonkin. We also changed our refund policy. Unlimited refunds within 14 days of purchase and under 2 hours played. The team is working on a self-service solution, but for now, you'll have to go through player support. This is newsworthy because we've talked about refund policies here for PlayStation, Xbox, and all that jazz. This brings them in line with Steam's refund policy, which is one of the few things that seemed like Steam had over Epic Games. And I think it just shows, again, what it's like to launch something and have to fix it as you go.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think it's great that they're being communicative. They turned it around real quickly based on feedback. And I bet this is what they've always wanted, let alone the fact that they even talk about it. They're getting close to self-service where you won't have to interact with a human being. But right now you do have to go through the player support. But it's even less than what it was before.
It's so interesting seeing these game stores, digital game storefronts, like kind of evolving and changing in a world 5 years ago, I mean, not even 5 years ago, honestly, 2 years ago, maybe even 1 year ago, we would be sitting at this table being like, oh, no one could ever touch Steam.
Yeah.
And now it's like, Oh shit! Steam's kind of getting touched.
You know what I mean? Who's touching Steam right now?
Who's touching Steam?
Who's touching that Steam? Kevin, are you touching Steam?
Since I'm in a controversial gaming opinion mood, I'm just gonna drop this.
Here we go.
We've talked about this before. I think this refund thing is utterly ridiculous.
What do you mean?
Like, I just don't understand the idea of buying a game, not liking it, and being like, "I want a refund." That's just.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's definitely how people will use it, but I also think it's more to protect against the broken-ass games that come out.
And I get that. That totally makes sense, and that side of it is totally fair. But it's like, it reminds me of the people that walk into a movie and start watching it and don't like it and walk out and ask for a refund. I'm like, y'all are fucking tripping. You're not a cool type of person. I don't want to be your friend. I guess that's all I'm saying. Fair. If you're the type of person that's going to use this to play for 2 hours and like you don't like the game so you return it, I don't want to be your friend.
What if they bought it on a whim? What if they're listening to Gamescast and they hear Tim like this game and I'm going to try it and they play it and I don't like it?
That was their bad.
Boo, that is a bad gaming opinion.
Why?
Let them take. I mean, it's the argument is always the slippery scope or slope of what an how informed as a consumer you need to be, right?
You should not make a purchase unless you know what you're buying. If there's something wrong with it, you should be able to return it. You not liking it? What the hell?
Who's it hurting? Who's it hurting if I play less than 2 hours of this game?
Who's it hurting if he plays less than 10 hours? Like, why 2 hours? There's like so much bullshit here. What about Journey, right? You're going to fucking buy Journey and then beat it and then be like...
Nah, there's some difference there.
Is there?
I'm sure. I don't know. Do I look like I'm doing my turbo taxes over here? I don't know. I don't fucking know what's happening on the fucking Razor and Scale. It's something, I rarely think about. You know what I mean?
Get educated.
But I remember being a kid and not liking a game from GameStop or Walmart or whatever and trying to get it back in time. You know what I mean? You just lost touch with the people. That's what everybody's going to say in the comments.
I know, but that's bullshit. When I was a person, I fucking did
now
my research.
Our angel.
And whatever I am, it's like at any point in my life, I've always done ridiculous amounts of research based on whether or not I want to spend money on something.
Sure, but then that gets you into that crippling thing where you wouldn't let us buy TVs forever because you wanted very specific.
Yeah, then you guys got a bunch of shitty TVs.
They're great.
They're great.
Yeah.
All right.
We have TVs, though.
Exactly, right? Before we'd still be waiting for you over there with your fucking Poindexter cards.
I'm not happy with any of them.
Nobody cares whether you're happy
exactly,
or not.
Right? Yeah, exactly, right? Me and Kevin like to have fun. You know what you like to do?
Waste money. It's cool.
Yeah, I do like wasting money.
It's not wasted. We used the TVs. Last week when you guys were gone, we played so much Smash back there.
Good job. Yeah. Good. Yeah. It's true. All of it. Number six, Verizon's getting in on cloud gaming. This is from Chris Welch over at The Verge. Verizon is currently conducting alpha testing of Verizon Gaming, a game streaming service that would represent a major new initiative for the home and mobile internet giant. The Verge can report that Verizon Gaming is already up and running on the NVIDIA Shield set-top box and will, according to the company's documentation, eventually make its way to Android smartphones. In either usage scenario, the service can be played using a paired Xbox One controller. Verizon has not publicly advertised Verizon Gaming or even really acknowledged its existence. Verizon has quietly been recruiting players to take part in the test, which currently involves over 135 games. Participants are promised a $150 Amazon gift card upon completion. They're given a free NVIDIA Shield, Xbox One controller, and a login for the test. The Verizon Gaming app comes pre-installed on the Shield device, and Verizon will also be distributing it to testers privately through Google Play later this month. This initial test run is scheduled to wrap up at the end of January, according to emails seen by The Verge. Screenshots of Verizon Gaming show titles including Fortnite, Red Dead Redemption 2, God of War, Battlefield 5, and Destiny 2. That would be an unbelievable collection of games if accurate. God of War is a PlayStation 4 exclusive, and Red Dead Redemption 2 doesn't have a PC port yet, but it's likely that some or all of those shown are placeholders. Indeed, in response to a few complaints from testers over lag and a poor early experience, Verizon says that it's currently focused on getting the fundamentals right before worrying about game selection. Quote, this trial is primarily focused on performance, the Verizon Gaming team recently wrote in an email to its participants. At a later date, when we advance the product, our library will consist of most or all of the top games you are familiar with. But at this early stage, we're working on the engine and its parts, end quote.
This is one of those weird news stories where when you hear the headline, you're like, what the fuck? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Verizon? Why would they be getting involved with games? Like, that's so weird. But then when you start thinking about it more and like get the details, you're like, holy shit. This could really be a game changer. Verizon has always been pushing the data stream limits. They were the first one with Fios or whatever what it was called like a couple years ago, where it's like you're getting the ridiculously fast internet compared to even DSL and then cable and all of that. And for them to be like looking at where the gaming industry is going now and be like, yo, we can get in on this and like have something that can compete with a Google or with a
Amazon
Amazon or Microsoft when they release the cloud system. Right. Man, Very interesting stuff. Where's this going to shake out? What digital game storefronts are we going to be buying from, and what cloud system are we going to be using?
It's interesting, but I feel like we've already got too many people pulling up to the table. Mm-hmm. Where it's really, yeah, I'm more interested in Google versus Microsoft and what's going to happen there. But I shouldn't discredit them. And when I was reading it and looking at it, I'm like, holy fuck, what? Red Dead and God. I was like, oh, wait, I'll play Soldier. Okay. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's because we have a bad cable company in Comcast. I just don't believe in anybody.
We've never had Verizon in our area, which has always been very upsetting because I wanted it day one.
Sure.
But to be fair, we also don't have Google here. We don't have a lot of things. We have fucking Comcast.
Yeah.
Let's hope they don't get involved.
Well, whatever. We just won't use it.
Or we will because it might be the only one we can.
I'm not streaming games off Comcast if they come up here. Oh, I brought you an NVIDIA Shield. I'll slap that fucking shit out their face.
Yes.
Mark your word. What? We'll be using fucking?
Somehow.
If Comcast starts a streaming service of games, I'll be using it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll never happen.
Here's my thing. Who's to say that it's not going to be just like cable services where different regions are stuck? It's like, this is the one you get to use.
Nah, the internet, man. Net neutrality, we won. Tim, I'm excited to see if you're right about Comcast. But it's going to be so long till they ever get off their asses and do it or let it fix the fucking internet here. If I wanted something more immediate, like what came to the mom and grab shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, Panda Hero. Panda Hero on PlayStation 4.
Panda Hero.
It scared me, man.
Panda Hero on PlayStation 4. Panda Hero on PlayStation 4, and that's it. No new dates for you either, and there's no deals of the day. Reader Mail. This time, it's brought to you by Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community for creators with more than 25,000 classes in design, business, and more. Premium membership gives you unlimited access so you can join the classes and communities that are just right for you and your new year goals. Whether you want to fuel your curiosity, creativity, or even career, Skillshare is the perfect place to keep you learning and thriving in 2019. Highlights from one or more of the classes. You've used this.
Yes.
What are your highlights?
I was just putting that in there now.
Thank you.
I did a ton of stuff with sound design and After Effects. It's a bunch of tutorials, essentially, is what it is. But it's really helpful. I actually used it for some of the After Effects work I had to do for the Kind of Funny Day.
Oh, nice.
Intro videos and stuff. The Fast and Furious in review.
Woo! Starting this week.
Yeah, there were some techniques that I've never had to do before. Okay. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to try the Skillshare thing. It was awesome. All super cool, super easy, ton of different things. And it's not just technical stuff, but there is a ton of technical stuff. The whole Adobe suite has a ton of things from like a general perspective of like how to learn how to video edit for the first time, but also very specific things of how do I animate something this way.
Do they have how to speak French? Is there a Skillshare for French?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I imagine there is.
Should look into it. Skillshare is also super affordable. An annual subscription is less than $10 a month. Join more than 7 million creators learning with Skillshare. The first 500 of my subscribers to use the link in the description of this video will get a 2-month trial for free. That's right. 500 people who sign up with the youtube.com/kindoffunnygames link we've put in the description of this video will get a 2-month free trial. Go to Skillshare now. But through our link, so that helps.
Mm-hmm.
You ready for some questions?
Let's do it.
Ding, 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 ding. All right, Josh says, what's good, Kind of Funny Games Daily Crew? My question is a follow-up of sorts surrounding the Activision and Bungie split. Maybe this is a bit of a Sony pony tinfoil hat thought, but is there any chance that Sony could try to add Bungie to their group of Sony exclusive developers? Shuhei Yoshida did say previously that he believes that multiplayer shooters is one of the areas that Sony is lacking in among the first parties. And what better way to go all in than with one of the bigger names in the genre? Is there any chance of this, or am I grasping at straws with this theory? Thanks in advance for reading and answering my question, and keep being awesome, guys. And Andrea, Josh.
Wow. I haven't even considered that. To be fair, I've been out gallivanting the world of Mexico.
Mexico.
My internet wasn't great, so I couldn't like keep up with all this bunch of stuff. But I was in the middle of nowhere on a boat. And I pull up my thing. I can't get away from the Twitter.
You got to be on the
Twitter. Even if it's going to be real slow. Yeah. It pops up that Bungie gets divorced from Activision.
Right.
And I'm looking around this boat, and I'm just like, guys.
Wake up, Gia.
Like, holy shit. I'm a current. This just happened. He's like, they're with Activision. My like, I hate you so much. Holy shit. What a bomb.
Yeah.
What a giant change up in the industry. And this sounds just crazy enough to work.
I mean,
it won't happen.
It's an interesting question, Josh. But I mean, I think I'm sure a phone call rang in. I bet Microsoft was the first to call. Mm-hmm. I bet Sony had too many goddamn approvals to run through. I bet Microsoft called in. But I would imagine that Bungie was like, maybe on an exclusive title. Sure. But not Destiny. Mm-hmm. Like, think about the how the bad will, the hate, whoever who did this would generate against the two other platforms they're cutting off. You assume they would, right? And like, if you were to say that Bungie got bought up by Xbox and now it'll no longer, now I, and I, this is where it gets weird, right? Destiny 3 won't be on the rest of them. And even Xbox, Xbox is crazy enough, and as they've already shown, that they'd buy them and continue to let them put it on everything.
And that's the crazy part. Yeah. Like, imagine if one of them, Sony or Microsoft, it is more likely to be Microsoft in this case.
I'm thinking old school, yeah.
Bought them and then kept selling everywhere, so they're making the money, but then also get the exclusive partnership stuff that Sony had been getting the last couple of years with Destiny on the Microsoft side. That would be a big shift over there. And they're making a bunch of money.
I appreciate that this iPad is somehow Bluetooth linked to a speaker.
Can you mute it? That's where it's coming from.
Yeah. I'll do it after the fact.
Very exciting stuff, though, man.
I'm trying to open this. In your wrong right now, a little boy who I don't think has ever watched a show before named Zyger says Jason Schreier just reported that Bungie is in talks with Sony.
Yo, let's go!
Dude.
I'm trying to see if I can bring that up.
Holy shit. That would be fucking huge. Because Shuhei's right. That is the one arena that they're not totally destroying on an exclusive.
But that's where it gets really... But I guess I'm thinking of it just too... I'm too stupid. I'm a caveman and you've just brought me fire. And I'm like... you know what I mean? if PlayStation bought Bungie and brought them in as a first party studio, you can't make Destiny 3 and have it just be on PlayStation, right?
Why not? I mean, you
because
could.
You're gonna piss off
you're gonna,
everybody.
You're gonna,
and like, think about, I mean, think about it in the way how Bungie has dug themselves out of the hole that got made with Destiny 2 when it first started, and it wasn't what fans wanted. Like, I feel like their community would for real riot if that happened. But you could, I assume, buy it and start a new thing. But even then, you're going to be blamed for killing it. But if the game was awesome, nobody would care. Zygs, I can't find this article or whatever you're saying.
The
that
upside,
Jason's bringing
don't
up.
Want to be mad about there being no crossplay.
Yeah. But it's just, it's fascinating. It's very, very fascinating.
Because they wouldn't just kill Destiny and start something new. That's crazy, too.
Yeah.
Or would they? I don't know.
I just, PlayStation is so not the hey, everybody play together people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My Xbox, totally can see it. Xbox doing Minecraft. Yeah. And it's just still there and it's everywhere. And then really just fucking do, cross it all over the place and do it. Oh, that's even funnier. You're wrong. Zyger writes in and says, that wasn't me. Somebody's like, that's according to Zyger in the chat, that he didn't send in that you're wrong. So somebody's just fucking with us, which is how things get walled off on Patreon and you don't get to contribute anymore. So keep thinking about that. Okay, good. That's good. Because that would have blown my mind. That Sony was doing it. Yeah, no way. This is fascinating, though. The future, very, very fascinating.
It is, man. Because like,
if Sony did, if I think it's a two-pronged prediction, then. I guess three. Number one prong, it's not happening. I think Bungie's going to stay independent. They are happy to have their freedom, especially getting out of this deal with Activision right now. They're excited to be able to make their Destiny and not have to worry about anybody breathing on their necks. And that's not even saying that Activision was bad to them. It's just the fact of, we understand, it's cool having no bosses.
Yeah.
It's cool doing whatever the fuck you want to do. If they went to Xbox, I think it would be a Minecraft situation. And this is why I could actually see it possibly happening, where literally Phil Spencer and team is just like, we want to bring you on as one of the things. We don't want to change anything. We don't want to get in the way. You make the nerdy ass, grindy ass Destiny everybody wants that you got your people love.
See,
go do it.
You saying it, I'm like, that's not going to happen. Like, that's... We can't give Phil Spencer that much credit.
Why not?
He's a great guy. He says great things. But at the end of the day, like, he's trying to build Microsoft. Like, you can't just be like, yeah, and you know what?
Hey, let creators create.
We're doing this big thing for the people. I just... That's too big. There's too
that's
much
what they do
money
with Minecraft.
There. Yeah, but
they
Minecraft,
want you to keep making money. They want your silver dust or whatever the fuck you get your Ingram out of.
Yeah. I feel like Minecraft's different, though, because Minecraft doesn't cost nearly the amount to maintain that Destiny does. You know what I mean? Like, that's the type of thing of they're like, you know what? This was worth the purchase just to, like, keep going and keep making money everywhere. And, like, it makes more sense to be everywhere with this. Destiny is, like, a title that people will buy a system for.
And then if Sony bought them, I think what you would do is have Bungie start a new IP. I think you'd have like an Anthem kind of situation where it's like, hey, make something new. Where branch off of what you already. You can keep supporting Destiny. You can make a Destiny 3. Well, I guess publish everywhere. Yeah, that's weird. It's complicated.
It is.
I like thinking about that, though. I like that that's where we're at in the world now, so we can actually get out there and do this.
What do God, I want? If Sony got Bungie.
Well, I thought that was a really good discussion topic. You know what I mean? Good. I didn't give you any appetizer questions. We kind of went right into the main course. So now it feels weird to come out with any kind of... I'll give you one dessert one, all right? James, a.k.a. 16 Bits of Awesome, says, what game will win Game of the Year in 2019, Tim?
We talked about this on Gamescast a couple weeks ago.
Well, don't steal Jared Petty's ideas, right?
With Fran.
Fran.
He's got bad ideas.
And I think... I don't remember what I said. But I think what I said was... There's no game that I think is poised to win it. Like, there's nothing we know that's coming in 2019 that we know is 2019
that we think is a slam dunk.
That we think is like, oh, we there's no Red Dead. There's no, like, God of War was a surprise. Nobody would have ever put that in Game of the Year conversation until it came out, or at least until the preview event that happened.
Sure.
Like a month before the game.
Yeah, came out. The beginning of the year. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing is I don't feel like there's a... And it's because of loose dates, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like if right now Neil Druckmann tweeted, Last of Us Part 2 is coming out this year, then he'd be like, oh, frontrunner, exactly. Game of the Year, yeah. Otherwise, if they actually make it, which they won't.
Yeah. A lot of
Luigi's Mansion 3. Luigi's Mansion 3. Like, Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Pokemon Gen 8.
Yeah, those aren't going to be Game of the Year, though.
Animal Crossing could be. Shut up.
It can't be. It can't be.
How could it not be?
No matter how
they've
good.
They've primed us all. They gave us the foreplay that was Pocket Camp, uh-huh. And now I'm like, get me out of this Pocket Camp.
Yeah.
Get me into the booty camp. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. What? No, Game what of the Year saying? Really means something, though, and like I just feel like something like Animal Crossing can't have the God of War-esque transformation.
I'm with you. Unless it really did transform, which it's not going to.
Exactly.
But it could, but it won't. Yeah. But it could, but it won't.
If Pokemon had a Breath of the Wild-style transformation, that I do think could be... Game of the Year conversation. Right now, the only thing a lot of people I do remember were saying the Kingdom Hearts 3, and I'm like, Kingdom Hearts 3 ain't gonna win Game of the Year.
That game's gonna suck.
That game's not gonna suck, but it's right, not whatever, gonna
win. No, it's not gonna win Game of the Year.
Yeah.
You won't get, not enough people are gonna play it.
Well, not enough media journalists.
Correct.
People.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. That's what I meant.
Enough
sorry.
People are gonna play it for sure. I can't fucking wait. Just normal people.
Well, yeah, but normal people, what are they gonna do? Are they gonna vote it somewhere? Nah, they're not gonna do that. They don't use their votes. You know what I mean?
They might win People's Choice Awards.
Like The Rock?
Kids' Choice Awards.
Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com. No, they got it. Fucked it up again. It's all on Patreon now. I worked one day at Kind of Funny 4.0 so far. I'm sorry, everybody. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You support us at the bronze membership. Then you get to contribute to the show and squad up. This is where I read your name, your platform of choice, your username, all that jazz, and why you need help in a video game. I read it. The best friends come and find you, and everybody has a good time together. Today, Alexander Preston needs help in Pokemon Go. His trainer code is 36359404-6907. He goes by the username Luke Skyberger, which I appreciate. Why does he need help? Hey, lovely KFGD crew. I recently got back into Pokemon Go with the release of Let's Go Games and would love some KFBFs to add to my friends list. As not many of my friends play anymore, my inventory is overflowing with gifts, and I would love to exchange some with this amazing community.
Yeah, thanks for out here.
Huh?
Pokemon Oprah. Oh,
you get a gift and you get a gift. Thanks for all the incredible content. And I hope everyone at Kinda Funny Family has a tremendous 2019, Alexander Preston. Everybody, if you want to be his friend, go find that code I read. I think it's in the description probably. Time for You're Wrong, the sanctity of which has been violated on this very show and will forever have repercussions. You write in. You write in to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we got wrong. As we got it wrong, we read here. Best friends are corrected. Everybody's happy. Hooray. Lord of Pwn, who I do trust, says, Tim mentioned Gearbox having to cut costs. This is not true. Tim is most likely referring to the other Jason Schreier article about Activision Blizzard being told to cut costs and then giving their new CFO a $15 million bonus.
That is 100% correct.
I feel like, yeah.
You're a smart person.
Kebab says Super Mario All-Stars on Wii was released for Mario's 25th anniversary 8 years ago.
25th, not 20th. I'm an idiot.
No, you're not. You're a smart boy. We love
dumb.
You. No.
I thought Kevin was going to try to start a dumb chat.
Don't give me ideas. A lot of people are talking about returning games. I'd love to see these comments for tomorrow's Kind of Funny Games Daily. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Bronze tier. Be part of the show. Kebab's trying to make some funny jokes over here. Not going to read those.
How funny are they?
Not that funny. Doing this, looking at this. Now we're everybody joking around, making funny funds.
Making them funny funds.
Matthew R. says about Bungie's independence and being purchased by Sony. We all thought Ninja Theory was going to stay independent too, and then they were bought by Microsoft. Anything is possible. Correct. Yeah. In the video game industry, anything is possible.
Especially now, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Write in at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames as a bronze member. Then tune in to watch it live. twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Don't fuck with it. Then you can watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listen on podcast services around the globe. Running you through the host this week, it goes like this. Tomorrow, it's me and Andrea. Wednesday, it's me and Gary. Thursday, it's Jared and Tim. Friday, it's Andrea and Tim. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure
before
to serve you.
You go,
oh, shit! Oh, Kevin wasn't ready!
I just had an idea.
I was.
For Gamescast this week, I want the topic.
But you weren't ready for it to, like, stop.
I want the topic to be us predicting where video games will be. I don't know.
I hate this one.
In what year?
In the year.
Not too far. I don't go too far. Okay. Like, in 2 years. No, see, that's too far. 2020, we're 19.
Why don't we just do it year by year?
2021. I'm going to go 2021.
Okay, yeah. Fine.
Where will video games be in 2021? I want each of us to bring our predictions.
Because you know I mean?
The thing is, like, I want to predict where's Bungie going to go. I want to tell when's PS5, like, what's going to happen, like, where, how are things going to shake out?
Can we do it and then make it a time capsule and bury it somewhere? And then undo it?
I mean, yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to figure it out, but I want Patreon bronze members on Kinda Funny Games to contribute as well, their predictions.
Okay. You going to put up a post?
Yes.
Okay. Or is there already the one? Probably already
yes.
The one. Yeah, Joey's on top of it.
So, stay tuned. Please contribute.
Let's not actually bury anything, though.
Why not?
It seems like a lot of work.
Bury stuff. Until next time, it's been a pleasure serving you.